world's on fire, our culture is disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. It's time.
Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good morning this morning. I'm not trying to rub it in. But just want to show you my, I don't know if you guys have any of these, my $3.47 dime. Anybody have any of those other than me? $3.47 dime. That's what it's worth today, by the way. $3.47 silver dime. Oh, my, look, by the way, I just happen to have a silver $62 here in my, it's not a silver dollar, it's a silver $62, right? It's a silver $62. Now, look, I don't care what you do, what you got to do. But if you don't read the tea leaves and understand that the dollar is no good, they're going to head us to something else, that gold and silver is God's money. Look, I don't care how much it is. It's 60, what's it? What is it? 60, almost 61 today, Spencer? Can you go to Kitco? K-I-T-C-O. K-I-T-C-O. Kitco. What is, right? You click on the, up at the top, it says, well, there, that's gold. Gold's $4,100 a gold. Go to precious metal quotes up the top here, Spencer. Right? Up. You were there. Right there. Okay. What's silver today? Poor old silver. Why? It's clear down. It's only worth $61 today. Huh? Your silver. Here's my silver $61. Do you get it? Now look, you don't have to buy from all at cost. Now, I don't care where you get it. Folks, do you have any idea how far you are ahead? If you run into 20 people at church, how many of those 20 people you run into church are thinking about selling? What? Anybody give me a percentage on those? You start a conversation in your local church about buying silver. How many people do you think have any idea what the hell you're talking about?
2%.
2%.
Maybe. So do you understand how far ahead of the game that you are here? And you're not spending money. You're investing it. Go get yourself a $61 silver dollar. I saw something today that, folks, they said it may go to $1,000. And this whole thing is over. Why? Because it's in short supply. Okay, I'll quit talking about that. But it's $61 today. Man, oh man. Hey, thanks for coming in here. And I know the problem is, Bible says where there's unity, God commands a blessing. Heavenly Father, just be with us today, Lord. Direct us, order our steps in Jesus' name. Where there is unity, God commands the blessing. Now listen. Not uniformity. Not everybody wearing the same uniform. No. Where there is unity, meaning you can put on the uniform and still have division within the ranks. You hear me? You can wear the scarlet and gray for the Buckeyes and still be on that team and be upset because you're not playing. Oh, you got the scarlet and gray on, and go Buckeyes, but really in your heart, you're mad because you're a backup. You don't get in the game. Because you're a backup and you don't get in the game, it's easy for other people who are backups and don't get in the game to start criticizing the coach, and the next thing you know, you agree with it. And so then what happens? Well, then that uniformity or that unity becomes uniformity. You all wearing the same uniform, but you ain't all on the same page. And that's the greatest thing we're fighting right now today. And if you go to a Christian and you ask a Christian, anyone, I'm all of us, go to Christian and ask him who they're voting for and why. You go, the average Christian isn't going to really be able to give you a good in-depth reason why. They really don't. So I'm telling you this. I support President Trump because he's the most pro-life president in my lifetime. I don't know if he believes it, but his policies are that. And so I start, that's my jumping off point. That's where I jump off. When I go past a ballot, I ask myself this, which one's going to protect unborn babies? Because I believe that is number one issue in the heart of the Lord. He said it'd be better for you to put a millstone around your neck and throw yourself in the deepest part of the ocean than to mislead one of these little ones. And the littlest ones of all are those unborn children in mommy's womb. And if some person will not protect the life of the preborn child, they sure as hell ain't going to defend me. That's my drop dead spot. That's it, right? So we can argue all about, we can tax policy and we can argue all that stuff. I come back, the first one, are you pro-life? And ask yourself this, how many people in the American church, that's their number one priority? What percentage of people, Ray, what percentage of people do you think that is? That's the number one policy when they go in there, preborn, the lives of preborn children. What percentage do you think, Ray?
I think they said something like 1%.
How much?
1.
1%? What if it's 10%? What if only 10%?
Very low.
Just 10% of the church, and the number one issue is abortion. What are the other 90% voting on? Come on. So what are they? I know what they're voting on. What are the other 90%?
Bigger buildings.
I'm sorry, I missed that. Bigger. I'm talking when they go in to vote. What's the number one issue in the minds of most people when they go in to vote? Nobody's going to say it. Come on.
Healthcare?
Nope. Money. Show me the money.
Pocketbook. Oh, yeah, but your grandchild's being slaughtered in the abortion clinic. Yeah, but the economy's good. And who am I to judge? And I'm pro-choice. No woman should have to bring into the world a life that she didn't really plan, right? Yeah, folks, Christians think like this. Christians think like this. Through propaganda. I'm going someplace really good today. Hang on with me. Danica, come on in. No, shout her hand. I thought you had a hand up. Raise your hand up. No, maybe I'm confused here. Well, maybe I'm in the wrong file here. Let me get over here. All right, there we go. Okay, so hang on. Here's what I want to, you know what? I appreciate your emails. I'm going to tell you this, I ain't always right. I'm not always right. But again, as a coach, I look and I try to figure out why isn't the play working? Why isn't that play working? So I analyze it. And then I try to come here and say, here's why our play isn't working. And then you guys will say, yeah, coach, that's one reason, but this is going on, and that's a valid reason. So even though I think the problem is a one-issue problem, God will not bless a nation that kills its children. Just, it won't. There are other issues as well. And we get lost in the fog, and we don't really, really understand. That's why a house divided against itself cannot stand. We don't understand. Okay, where am I? Where are you, Coach? I don't know how I started with silver. Hey, David Arthur's mother needs some prayer today. So, Lord Father, guide the physician's hands, Lord Jesus, and touch her and heal her if that would be your will. We know that would be your will, but you'd be healed. But your will be done in her life, Father. And just grace David to continue to be a loyal son to his mother. In Jesus' name, amen. I got 1,000 things we could pray about. I mean, I just a prayer request come in here okay. Let me get to my stuff here. Sorry for the rant here this morning. Look, Spencer, pull up Redneck Housing Relief. Thank you for Ryan, especially Ryan sent. Ryan, you know who you are. Ryan sent a big check in, Ryan, and we'll get it out today. I promise we'll get it out to him. But if you want to support that ongoing relief, you don't have to send it to Coach Dave. You don't send it here. Redneck Housing Relief, right there. We had them on yesterday. We know what they're all about. There's where you can donate. There's all the information you need. redneckhousingrelief.com. Redneck Housing. But we need to know that that's going on, okay? We need to know. Hey, listen, do me a favor. Don't give the Samaritan's Purse. Please don't do that. Don't give it to Baptist Bible Fellowship. Don't give it to them. Give it here. They need it. They show me. Okay, cool. Got that, Epper. Let me see. What else? Make sure. Yeah, that's good. That's good. That's good. Okay, I went here. A little bit of education today. Is it okay if I do a little bit of education? Anybody for the good of the group before I dive in here today? I'm not going to change off. Got to get me off subject. Here's where we're going. You know what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, I think, if the Lord lets me. Hell. Hell. People really go to hell. When's the last study you had in your church on hell? Immediately burned up there. What the heck happens in hell? Talk about that a little bit tomorrow. Okay, here's what I want to talk about. Bring up this video. I want to talk today about a color revolution. We're in the midst of a color revolution. And most of you say, what's that? What's a color? I'm going to build an argument here. Stay with me. Okay. A color revolution. This is a real quick minute 30 video explaining minute 47 what a color revolution is. We're in the midst of one. I'm going to lay the evidence out here today. Go ahead, play that.
What is a color revolution? Imagine a movement where citizens unite to demand change, often sparked by dissatisfaction with their government. This is the essence of a color revolution. These events typically occur in countries where people feel their rights are being suppressed or where there is widespread corruption. Color revolutions are characterized by nonviolent protests, public demonstrations, and the use of symbolic colors to representing the movement. For instance, the Orange Revolution in Ukraine in 2000 and the Rose Revolution in Georgia in 2003 are notable examples. Each of these movements used a specific color to unify supporters and convey their message.
Freeze it.
The motivation.
MAGA. Make America Great Again. It's a color revolution. Okay. They give you a theme and they paint everything around it. MAGA. Okay. It's a color revolution. Go ahead.
Motivations behind these revolutions often include calls for democratic reforms, transparency in governance, and the end of authoritarian rule. They can be sparked by various factors, including disputed elections, economic hardship, or social injustice. International influences can also play a role, as some color revolutions have received support from foreign governments or organizations advocating for democracy. However, the outcomes of these movements can vary significantly. Some lead to successful changes in leadership and policy, while others may result in backlash or even conflict. In summary, color revolutions representing a form of civic engagement, where citizens seek to reshape their political landscape through collective action and peaceful protest.
So those involved with color revolutions, they call them color revolutions because they wear a uniform. You understand? They wear a uniform. They're a team. They call it a color revolution because you recognize their uniforms, whatever they might be, all right? MAGA is a color revolution. Color revolutions can be good. Color revolutions can be bad. But we are in the midst of a color revolution. So pull up for me real quickly here. General Flynn, number 6. General Flynn. By the way, I think he's one of the good guys. I think General Flynn is one of the good guys, okay? But I want you to play it's just a real brief, and then you ought to watch this whole thing because this will help you a little bit more. General Flynn, scroll down, Spence, just a little bit, and play this little two-minute clip where General Flynn explains to us the color revolution and what's going on. Go ahead.
Trump is like Washington and Lincoln, but in their day, they clearly understood which side their line was, where the enemy was on the other side of it, right? They knew the British, and then, of course, the North versus the South. In our day and age, Trump is facing, this unelected bureaucracy we call the deep state. And Now they are clearly aligned with this axis of resistance inside of our country, which includes, you know, China rising in very, very, you know, rapidly, this radical Islamist element within our country. And it seems to be permeating throughout our country's, you know, cities, etc. So that's who he's facing. That is the adversary that you're facing, President Trump. It's not as clean as the North versus the South or the Patriots versus the British. That said, when you look at a place like Europe, Zelensky is a dictator. He's declared martial law. He's arrested journalists. He's shut down anybody that is in the opposition, even in the Rada over there. If you're an opposition voice, you're arrested for treason.
They kill journalists.
Exactly. So the complex that exists here in this country is the exact same complex that exists over in Europe, and they want to perpetuate war, because if they don't have the boogeyman of Russia, then they can't have the machinery that goes with that, you know, that goes with NATO, that goes with the European Union. It is a money-making machine, and Trump Donald Trump. Well, I was going to say, for you, Donald Trump, you just spent $400 million in this big, beautiful bill. We just sent another $400 million that I understand. I just read about that this morning. I'm like, Jesus, you know, we got 320 million people in this country. Give them all $1 million, Donald, instead of giving it to Zelensky, because that money's going to go nowhere except into the pockets of oligarchs and crooks, one of whom they just arrested his chief of staff, Yermak, I think is the guy's name. So we're dealing with a crooked regime, and elections is the least of what they need to be doing. We, the United States of America, we need to really seriously consider just pulling out of all of that and telling NATO and telling the European Union, you know, NATO minus the United States, hey, look, you want this goddamn war? You got it. We're done. We are done, because we have to focus on home.
The government.
This is the point. They are using the Ukraine war to lock us down. Folks, do you understand that? And they are using the whole thing with Israel and all that. They're using all of that to lock us down. It's a color revolution that's going on. And what the color revolution, at the heart of the color revolution, is those people, factions of unelected government, are trying to advance a kingdom. That's what the color revolution is. MAGA is a color revolution, okay, folks? It is. Let's not deny them what's going on. Hang on, I got to show you some good things, okay? So I said, I just typed in today, who are Trump's defenders? Now, MAGA, Trump, click on that. Who are those? No, that's not the one I want yet. Go ahead and bring it up. Trump. Who are Donald Trump's defenders in the American government? Okay? Now, as we watch, what, trust but verify, I want you to understand there's a color revolution going on in America. Scroll down here. Who are those that are associated with Trumpism? Scroll down, Spencer, all the way down. Should tell us some names. Keep going. Okay. Well, no, people who are supporting Trump. There they are in Arizona. Andy Biggs, Jake. Now, as you go through these, ask yourself this. Eli Crane, is he a good guy? Carrie Lake, is she a good guy or bad guy? Lake Master, go down to California. Who's supporting Trump? Look, California's a big state. Not many Trump supporters there. Larry Elder, Caitlyn Jenner, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., Kevin, that's it? That's the only Trump supporters in California? Colorado, go on, look, Connecticut only has one. Delaware only has one. Scroll on down, Spence. Come on, man, you're slowing this way. Florida, look, those are the Laura Loomer, Matt Gaetz, Brian Donalds, Marco Rubio, Rick Scott. That's Trump's team. Georgia, keep going. There they are. Taylor Greene, although she's not anymore. Hi. Go to Ohio. Hey, folks, look at your state. Look at your state. This is Wikipedia, right? Look at your, oh, Louisiana, Clay Higgins, Mike Johnson, no, Steve Scalise. Seem like good guys to me. Michigan, Massachusetts, not so many. Michigan, wow, not so many. Minnesota, Hegseth, Royce, Missouri, Holly, seem like good guys. Nevada, New Hampshire only has one. New Jersey only has one Trump supporter. New Mexico, New York, Giuliani, Malatakis, Stefanik, Santos, North Carolina, Ohio, Jim Jordan, Josh Mandel, Bernie Marino, Vivek Ramaswamy, J.D. Vance. Okay, folks, so here, look, here's clearly one team. This is one team. And you know what's really, really interesting?
You would think that on this list that Wikipedia's made up, every Republican would be on Trump's team. But they clearly aren't, are they? They clearly aren't. Look at Pennsylvania, big state. How many in Pennsylvania? Not very many. South Carolina, three, only three? Interesting. Who are Trump's enemies? Go to number 8. Put this in the chat because you can check it on your own. Here's my point. Got to pick a team, boys. Got to pick a team. Sorry, got to pick a team. So scroll on down here, Trump's enemy list. Here they are. It's a little bit smaller. There they are. Hang on. Go back at the top. Start at the top. And ask yourself, in this, would you stand, are you on the same page with those on Trump's enemy list? It's a color revolution that's going on, by the way. Hang on. Let's see. Who do they talk about? Going down. Keep going. You're doing good, Spence. Okay, Jack Smith. He a good guy? Go ahead. Liz Cheney. She a good guy? Good girl? Go ahead. Mark Milley. He a good guy? He was head of the chief of Wanda. Pelosi, she a good guy? Joe Biden, he a good guy? Letitia James, she a good guy? Good guy? Kamala Harris, she a good one? She a good girl? You support her? Adam Schiff? So clearly, folks, clearly we have two teams. Clearly we have two teams, and we have a bunch of people who ain't on any team. That's the problem we're dealing with, see? And why aren't they on any team? Because, again, we can't identify what are the most important issues. We cannot identify with them. And so you got the Catholics, or I'm sorry, you got the Christians and the Catholics. They're pro-choice, they're pro-life, but it's about 10 on their list. About 10 on their list. What was it James Carville said? You guys remember back when Bill Clinton was running? What did James Carville say? Huh? Anybody remember me? It's the economy, stupid. It's pocketbook issues. Always it's pocketbook issues. But it's, friends, it ain't pocketbook issues to the Lord. Shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. And it is. Because we're in the midst of a color revolution, okay? Now, this is interesting. I'm going to let you all get in here in a second. But we have to understand exactly what's going on here. Go to number 9, media bias. This is fascinating. Here's a chart. Spencer, maybe get rid of that. Here's a chart of media bias. Now, I don't agree with all this. Stay right there, Spencer. Yeah, there. Good. Yeah. I'll put this in the chat so you can see it. So on the very right, whatever that means, right-wing media bias. Who are those people? Spencer, can you make it a little bit? It's clear over here. Last chant, last column, folks. These are the very right. Fox. Does anybody out there think Fox is very right? Ray, do you think Fox News is very right? Or would you say they're center right? Huh? Come on, they ain't very right. They say Breitbart, Epoch Times, Newsmax, Gateway Pundit. They're very right. Well, let's go to the very left. CNN, MSNBC, Slate, Raw Story. I don't even know some of these places. But let's go to let's somewhat left. CNBC, somewhat left. Associated Press, somewhat left. Really? Really? Somewhat left. And so what we have to understand is the media has been seized. And so therefore, the information that you get is not honest. It's biased information. Biased information. Because why? That's part of the color revolution. Divide and conquer. Oldest trick in the books. And so people will say, and rightfully so, well, Donald Trump, why, he's the one that gave us the vaccine. And they're right. They're right. Is he still pushing it? Do you guys ever get some new information? Somebody give you some information? Somebody trusted gave you some information? And you get down the road and say, dang, gone. I got bad advice. And it's hard to take it back. Say, hey, Donald Trump, you supported taking the jab. You told everybody they should, and you know what he should say? He should say, you know what, you're right, and I was lied to. I was lied to by people I trusted. All right. So being in the midst of this color revolution, we have to understand that this idea of sorting things out is not as easy as we expect it to be. Because President Trump can't even get people in his own, what do they call that? In his own party. That's not the word I'm looking for. They don't even support him. Why? Because they're bought off. They have different reasons of why they're in office. And if they want to stay in office, which is what most of them want to do, then they go with the highest bidder, or those who've been financially supporting them. And so one of the targets of what they've done, and what I think, Trump trying to lead a color revolution and another group trying to lead a color revolution the other way. Divide and conquer. That's what I think we're dealing with. Okay? Now, you got to pick a horse. You got to pick a horse. So if somebody came to me today and said, Coach Dave, the 16 teams left in the NCAA football. Spencer, pull that up for me. Who are the 16 teams left in the NCAA football tournament? I think it's 16, isn't it? 16. Yeah, so he's going to pull up the bracket. And every one of us have to pick a winner. You got to make a bet. You got to pick a winner.
12 teams.
I think there's 12. 12,
teams, 12, thank you. I'm sorry, Rand. 12 teams. You guys follow too close to 12 teams. Pull the bracket up. There you go. Okay. Wow, there they are. Whoa. Okay. Who are they here? All right. Now, what you got to do, you know, put your $500 on one of these teams right now. Which one are you going to pick? Well, I like Ohio State. Well, yeah, I know you like him. Do you think they win it? Are you going to bet on Ohio State just because you like them, or because you think they can win it? And so they have all kinds of odds of who's going to come out of all these 16. But right there, folks, that's a picture of the political agenda that our government's dealing with. There are factions of the Republican Party who want Miami to win. And there are factions of the Republican Party that want Oklahoma to win. And there are factions of the Republican Party that want Georgia to win. They're not all on the same page, folks. They're not all on the same page. And so what do we have to do when it comes down to it? So here I am. I'm betting Ohio State. I'm picking Ohio State. And you guys can argue with me all you want to, and you ain't changing my mind. I'm picking Ohio State. Am I picking Ohio State because I like them, or because I think they're going to win? Probably both. But I think they're probably going to win it all. And you're allowed to disagree. But only one of those teams is going to win. At the end of this whole thing, it's only going to be one of them. It's going to be standing, right? So the problem we have today is they've done such a great job with their color revolution. Folks, you better understand this. They have divided. They don't care about the left. They own the left. They've divided the right. They've divided the right. Well, I can't vote for Trump because of this, and I can't vote for Trump because of this, and I can't vote for Trump because of this, and I can't vote for Trump because of this, and I can't vote for Trump for this. Okay, who are you voting for? I'm going to vote for Michigan. Hell, they're not even in the tournament. Well, Michigan ain't even in the tournament. Who are you putting your $500 on? Oh, well, Coach, I've always liked Notre Dame. Well, Notre Dame isn't in the tournament. This is what we're dealing with. You have to pick a team. Luckily, we're in the finals already. We're in the finals. Team MAGA or Team Anti-MAGA. And we still can't figure it out. Come on in, Joe Allen. Say, Coach, hang on. Coach, that makes it pretty clear, doesn't it? That makes it pretty clear. And I can find a lot of reasons to throw tomatoes at Trump. A lot of them. And I can find a dump truck to throw at Biden. Right? And none of us know the influences that have gone on. But you got to pick a horse, baby. Hey, go ahead, pick Notre Dame. Go ahead. See, I'm picking Notre Dame because I'm Catholic and I love them. I said, hey, listen, God bless you. They're not in the tournament. They're not in the tournament. You got to pick somebody in the tournament. Come on in, Joe.
I encourage everyone on this show to watch that what Coach just put out there. If some of us remember what the Bay of Pigs was, Trump almost went through it. The CIA are not our friends. And you want, there were some names dropped, and I couldn't sleep all night because of what was said.
Hey, Joseph, can you think of, are they trying, somebody help me here. Are they trying to kill Biden? Are they trying to kill Kamala?
No.
No?
But you want to see who's on our side and Republicans that are not on our side. Watch this program. Enough said.
Thanks, Joseph. Huh? Notre Dame ain't in. They're not in the team. They're not in the field. I love Notre Dame. They ain't in the field. Sorry. Jack.
Okay, Coach. As an unusual precedent, I'm going to disagree with you just a little bit. I do not want you to pick a team. That sports analogy doesn't work. I want you to be on the team so you can influence the outcome. If you're not on the team, if you're not a member of that rotten, stinking party, you can't influence it. My pastor asked me a couple years ago, why are you a Republican? I said, only because I can't get in there and influence. It only takes a few dedicated people to change the course of an entire state party system. Only takes, I'm talking about less than 100 people, folks. Get on the team, influence the team, run the team, throw the critters out that really are killing the team. Don't pick a team.
So, I love it, Jack. By the way, we don't disagree. I don't know how much you guys follow politics here in Ohio. We're going to pick a new governor. And our two choices right now, it appears, is Vivek Ramaswamy. How many people had heard of Vivek Ramaswamy 5 years ago? And the other one is Amy Acton. So who? Yeah, Amy Acton. She was the one of the nurses who was for COVID shots 4 years ago. And so we have two people running for governor in the state of Ohio, Amy Acton and Vivek Ramaswamy, who nobody had heard of 6 years ago. And now they're going to lead. Something stinks somewhere, boys and girls. Gino, come on in.
I was just going to say, you know, you take Ohio State. When they beat Texas, they became number one. But what did they do? They gave God the glory. And they were high. And, I mean, they were thanking God. And then when Indiana came in and beat Ohio State, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, what are you showing here? But, you know, Indiana came back and they gave God the glory, too.
Unbelievable, huh? That's right.
They gave God the glory. I think God was using this to create a new opening of realizing God deserves the glory.
That's right. And he don't pick teams. He's not an Ohio State fan. He's not an Indiana fan. No, that's right, Jack. It's unbelievable, isn't it? So you look at God. God's in a bind, isn't he? Those Ohio State players are serving the Lord, and those Indiana players are serving. Well, he got to pick somebody, right? Oh, that's a great analogy, man. Ray, come on in.
Yeah, Spencer, if you could bring up Isaiah 44:28. This just hit me. If King Cyrus was living today and we were living in his country and he was running for office, would you vote for him knowing his background now? Isaiah 44:28 says that saith unto Cyrus, King Cyrus, he is my shepherd. And he shall perform all my pleasures, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. The Lord raises up kings, and he takes them down. Trump's in office right now because the Lord raised him up to be where he is now. Whether you voted for him or not, he was going to be the man of the hour. Enough said, right, Joe?
Well, and Ray, he's going to protect unborn babies. That's issue number one with me. If he was pro-choice, like, then I go to issue number two. But I can't get off issue number one. He's pro-choice. I'm sorry, he's pro-life. He may not be personally pro-life, but he doesn't believe abortion should be legal. Judah, come on in.
Yeah, it's incredible to have everybody here that's witnessing what we're seeing. And as we get into these final months, obviously, I think there's some other horses that may pop on the scene.
I agree with that. I agree
with
that.
For other governors of other states, including Ohio, there's much better people that are part of God's team. And as you look across the thing, is I think everyone's gotten into this aspect where we're starting to see Trump. And again, that's the TDS aspect. If people understand the military side of things, you understand this war that's happening. He has put literally everybody into position that needs to be embarrassed. He's put them in the spotlight. And we haven't gotten to this executive order yet for where Trump is going to put paper ballots on the scene for the entire world. And once that happens, the greatest thing that Trump is going to have done is given back the American people's vote. And what do I mean by that? Is we're watching this great play out. You know, when John McCain actually died, or say passed away, I drew a lot of questions because there was a lot of holes in there. And actually, John Kasich actually even said, he's like, you know, John McCain was killed, executed, and died. And that caught my ear because he was in panic mode. And you start moving down this chain, you start going, wait, and then Colin Powell, he died. And then the list kept going on and on and on. And now when it came out to Cheney, I'm telling you what, there's more people to be revealed. They're coming down this list. And what we're looking at is we're looking at this list of people that was within the senior executive service that is no longer. Hmm. And I come back to this. Why? Again, people have got to get out of the TDS syndrome and go into the war aspect. If Trump removed by executive order the senior executive service and USAID for anyone, that would be the rabbit hole for everyone to do their investigative work into. So, well, then what was USAID funding? When you start to get into all the secret organizations and all the stuff that CIA was funding, it shows you clearly that we're winning. God's people are moving in a direction. And so this isn't, you know, General Flynn actually calls out the best. Boone Cutler and General Flynn called a spade, and that is the Uniparty. And again, we're not playing teams here. You got the Democrats, and you got the Republicans. Two wings of the same feather.
Yes, sir.
And the coach is right. This system is what's being exposed. The Freemason cult is being put on display for the whole world to see as they get their pants pulled down and get spanked. And literally, that is what's happening. And what I think what happens is most people, this is great. This is what I love about sports. And for people to understand the sports, we are picking a team. Here's what we're doing. We have to look at all the stats. I love stat people, because when you get a football person who comes down this and start to understand, wait a second, this team had 385 yards of rushing. This team had a pass defense of, you know, 402 yards per game. This team had this many flags on the field, this many penalties. Their punt team had this much coverage. What coach is doing, he's giving an analogy from where he grew up, what he knows best, and how to coach. These little stats make sense. If you add up the stats of what Trump has accomplished, not Trump, sorry, I fall in the same ditch. It's what the team behind Trump is doing. Trump is just out there as a spokesperson for it. But when you add it all up, it is beyond remarkable to see what's happening. And anyways, the point was going back to this. This is not about the Democrats. And right now, what this is about is exposing the rhinos that are in the Republican Party. So 2024 was about getting over the demonic Democratic hump. And now what we're doing is we're sifting through the swamp. And they're going to expose those people. And I'm going to tell you what, Vivek and his whole history within the medical industrial establishment is the same feather. And so I implore, this is a call, battle cry for God's people to step up. And if people hear that call, I think within these next 6 months, we're going to get an opportunity for people who say, you know what, God's called me to be a governor.
Amen. Amen. Joe Allen. And then I gotta show you something else. Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
We got to pay attention to Venezuela. Jude just talked about the rhinos. They're involved with Venezuela.
Yep. Yep. Look, neither team is a pure team.
That's right.
Huh? Everywhere you look, are you looking at me? Everywhere you look, it's the lesser of evils. Everywhere you look. I'm going to pause there a second. It's not the lesser of two evils. Everywhere you look, it's the lesser of evils. We don't have anywhere that you look a righteous man standing up and say, I'm going to do this because this is the righteous thing to do. And why is that? Because the church has decided not to be involved. The church has decided to support rhinos. You say, well, Coach Dave, that's why I'm not going to vote for any of them. Well, dude, you're voting for a player that ain't even in the tournament. You ain't even in the tournament. And voting for somebody else, you may say, well, that's the integrity of my vote. Well, that's true. But they're not even in the tournament. Not even in the tournament. Alan Zeifer, come on in.
Hey, good morning, Coach. One of my former football players, I sent you a picture of him. He's that Tampa PD officer. His wife's Venezuelan. They love Trump and all her family that lives in Venezuela right now. They want that guy that's in there. They want him out. They want Trump to level the place.
Yeah. Alan, when we find out what's been going on in Venezuela, what we're doing down in Venezuela don't have to do with drugs, folks. It doesn't have to do with drugs. It has to do with the color revolution that's going on. Okay, I want to go real quickly, Jack, and then everybody leave me alone here. I didn't mean it that way. I got something to share. Go ahead, Jack.
Okay, so what Judah was saying is great. It's the Overton window, Coach. We need to learn how to use the process, the Overton window. You have to be so radical on your belief system that they have to come to you. The window moves towards you. You're not going to get what you're asking for, but they're going to get less than what they're asking for. And the process of the lesser of two evils is an insane, insane concept. When Judah just said, I'm going to run for governor. Somebody's going to run for governor. But then the church doesn't vote for them, doesn't fund them, doesn't stand behind them. You can get anybody elected you want. All it takes is good people to do it. You can't just—it's a participatory function. It's not an observer. You're not just fans. You're participants. Get on the team. Don't just watch.
Amen. Amen. Oh boy. Oh boy. Pull up. What did I want for it? I'm going to show you this. Number five. Yeah. Hey guys. Guys, you see the division even in this group? The house divided against itself cannot stand. You say, well, Coach, I'm building the Lord's house. Well, good for you. You live in a natural realm. You're living in a natural realm. The Lord's building his house. It's an entirely different thing than the political environment that we find ourselves in. Donald Trump will end abortion if he has his way. Joe Biden wouldn't. Kamala Harris wouldn't. That was an easy choice for me. Randy, go ahead. I still want to get this thing. Go ahead, Randy.
Coach, yeah, I'll get to that, but I need to set a premise here, Coach. I think it's the place, the time. And the first house is ourself, Coach.
Yep.
And if we're divided, we're not even going to be in the game, period.
First of all, Randy, I don't know about you. I don't live a perfect life. I don't live a perfect life, Gene. Judd, I better be ready. If I were to run for governor, you guys are going to cringe at some of the stuff that they're going to dig up.
Yeah. Well,
go ahead, Randy.
So, Coach, a good point, and that is my point, is look, vote your conscience, honor your principles and your conscience first, okay? And then fight for your side next, okay? But don't put the other one before the first. That's why Paul taught on the meat, Coach, on some people ate meat offered to idols and others didn't. And it ain't about the meat. It's about you. Are you going to vote? Are you going to be honor your conscience and believe what the Holy Spirit's talking to you and then let it fall where it may? And then that's what holds our peace and our unity, Coach. And we can be different, okay? And a year later, I can say, hey, Coach, you were right. I get it now. But we have to give everyone a little bit of liberty to wait and to see where and to catch up or whatever. And we have to do that. And so there is a little bit of a balance in this in all what we're talking about here, Coach.
Okay. So Randy, let me throw this out there, and then I want to get to this thing up on the chart here. Number one, I can't vote for Donald Trump. I hear this a lot because X, Y, Z. I'd say, well, what do you think about abortion? They said, well, I'm against abortion. Well, then why are you paying your taxes? What? Yeah, your taxes are funding Planned Parenthood. You're not going to vote for Trump, but you're going to pay your taxes? Oh, you're going to pay your taxes. Because if you don't, you're going to get your own ass in trouble. Yes or no? So don't talk to me about compromise. It's everywhere you look, dude. It's everywhere you look. So American thinker, this is good. Pull it up there, Spence, real quickly. Color revolution, we were just talking about that. Okay, here's seven stages of a cover revolution. And ask yourself if this is what's going on. Here it is. Portray the targeted government as illegitimate. Is that going on right now? Front load allegations. Accuse incumbent of planning the crimes. Is that going on right now? Fund and train non-government organizations, student groups, and opposition politicians to repeat a unified message. Is that going on? Create, amplify a unifying symbol or theme. Manufacture an electoral crisis. Street mobilization. Public appeals to and moral blackmail of the military and the police. You're with the people, not the regimen. Promises of immunity. Future positions for defectors. Threats to those who support target government. Provoke a response. Flood media with images of peaceful protesters being attacked. International legitimization as foreign governments and media recognize opposition leaders as legitimate authorities. That's where Israel gets involved. Sanctions, frozen assets, diplomatic isolation applied to sitting government. New elections scheduled under international supervision. So we're approaching the final four stages of what was the Seditious Six. Scroll down, Spencer. Seditious Six, you remember who they were, right? Well, Seditious Six, they talked about alleged illegal orders and threats, yada, yada, yada. But, okay, I'm going to quit. Reading's no good. Put this in the chat. This explains to you the color revolution that is clearly taking place right now. The point that we're going to have to ask ourselves again, this isn't a reason we like football. The reason I like football is there's only two teams. One wins, no ties. Now, sometimes there are ties, but overtime, no ties. Every game there's a winner. Whether we think it's the right thing or not, there are two parties. One wins and one loses. And you say, well, coach, they're both corrupt. No chip, Sherlock. They're both corrupt. Both corrupt. So I'm going to go vote for, I'm not going to vote. See, hey, Gino, can I say what I think? Here's what I think. I think there's hypocrisy everywhere we look. And if we want, how can we say, I can't vote against my conscience? And then pay taxes to a government that does everything against your conscience. So if you say, I can't vote for this guy because he's not pure enough, okay, then stop paying taxes. Not only stop paying taxes, let everybody know that you're not paying taxes. Call the IRS and tell them, I'm not paying taxes. Go ahead and do that. If you're all in. I don't know, I'm all over the place with this. We're in the middle of a color rep. Hey, friends. I tell you this. Jesus Christ isn't king in most churches anymore. He's not king. He doesn't rule and reign in the hearts of the people in most churches. He doesn't rule and reign in the hearts of most people here, including me, because the thing that we really worship above all other things is comfort, peace and comfort. We worship that above everything else. And I'm talking to me, because how can I sit here every day and complain about abortion and not do anything about it? How can I sit here and complain every day about transgenderism being taught to our children and not doing anything about it? Oh, I just vote. I'll vote. See, the church is the salt of the earth. We're the counterbalance to the wickedness that's going on. As you look at me right now, can somebody tell me the last, what you and I would consider, righteous man who ran for public office, high office? Who's the last righteous man who ran for president of the United States? Maybe didn't win. Who's the last righteous one? Anybody know? Anybody give me one?
Because Ron Paul.
Ron Paul would be probably pretty close. Did he get the Christians vote for him? No. Because Christians are Republicans. They're not Christians. So we just look around and everywhere we are, everything comes back again, the whole creation groaning, waiting for God's people to show up. Instead, we like to sit back and throw mud balls at those who aren't Christian enough for us. Oh, geez. It's crazy, isn't it? I see it so clearly. My hypocrisy is everywhere I look. I rant and rave against what's going on in the public schools. I don't go to school board meetings. I don't go to city council meetings. I just come in here, Coach Dave Live, and gripe about it. Yeah? But I can go to church on Sunday, and then the pastor can tell me that, don't worry about it, Coach. It's all going to come out in the end. We're going to be out of here soon. Coach, don't get all upset. You're fighting a losing battle. Lord wins in the end. Yeah, I get it. Come on in, Joe. Somebody help me out here. We got 5 minutes left.
Isn't knowledge king? People that bitch, moan, and complain don't have that knowledge.
Yeah. Joe, the thing that amazes me more than anything is how uninvolved Christians are. And that somehow they told us along the line that you don't mix religion and politics. And religion is politics. It is politics. And we personalized it. Say, well, I'm not going to talk about it. Well, are you going to advance a kingdom? You say, well, coach, I can't advance a kingdom if I vote for Donald Trump or somebody that's not righteous. I know. How did he get to that position? How did Donald Trump get to that position? Because no, there weren't any righteous men standing up. And if there were righteous men standing up, the church wasn't supporting them because the polling said they couldn't win. Divide and conquer, oldest trick in the book, man. Randy, go.
Coach, 1 Timothy 2:2-4 is a really good position to take, Coach. It's Paul's the wisdom written. So I think that's kind of we have to work. We have to try to live that to the best of our ability, Coach. Even you know when it's not clear. But
I exhort you there for that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions. Giving thanks be made for all men, for kings. Let me ask you something there out there. When's the last time you fell on your face and prayed for Donald Trump? I haven't. For kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. That's pretty powerful. Randy, I don't do that. By the way, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. Go on, Jack. Got a couple minutes here.
Yep, that's the concept of I'd vote for him, but I can't. He can't win. It's so ridiculous, so ridiculous. We saw that with the Ron Paul campaign for president way back. If everybody that said they couldn't, they'd vote for him if they thought he could win, had voted for him, he would have won in a landslide, an absolute landslide.
But look, Jack, the media is against him. The media is against him, see?
And the polls are rigged. The polls are rigged to sway your vote, not theirs. They don't give a rat's patootie. They're all separated. They're trying to manipulate your vote with polls.
Yep.
And we took over the Republican convention in Maine with just a few people. We threw the convention chair out and put our own chair in the state convention. We voted for Ron Paul, and they took it to Florida and wouldn't let the delegates out of the bus. They voted for Mitt Romney. They stole it after we went through all that trouble. But you got to get you got to participate, folks.
Yeah. So we saw it right in here. I'm watching the chat. There is so much disunity in our group here. Right? And everybody doesn't have to agree on the same thing here. It's a great forum. But boy, there's some deep, deep disunity. Jed, real quickly, man. Well, you can stay on afterwards. I got a minute. Go.
I'll wait until the next.
Okay. Right. So, man. A lot going on. Look, it's at the heart of it's education, what they're teaching our children. They're teaching our children to be little globalists, not little American citizen, on and on and on and on. It's happening in a lot of different ways. And there's a color revolution going on in front of us. In all of my life, I've never seen the vitriolic hatred of a president of the United States like we see today. You guys ever remember that? Nixon, Kennedy. Reagan was a hatred like it is today. Something going on. See you tomorrow.